Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Cannot Say, sung by Shout Even Shy, a fellow poet and musician. It's a poem I wrote. She took and put music to it and sang it very, very well indeed. Welcome to Strange World. This is ATOV Radio, Team of Voices. It's a Wonderland production. Sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. Thank you, A.P. Tonight on Strange World, what we're going to do is go update AI, our artificial intelligence, how it's going to affect us. Because this is what's going to happen. Nobody knows. It's just going to be hopefully it'll be a good thing. But we'll be touching bases on some of the technology and the scary things that could happen. Also, some of the things that there are no explanation for. Scientists can't give an explanation. And, for example, what is gravity? I find that bizarre. They know what it is. They know how it affects us, but they don't know why. Why does a huge body have forces that draw you into it? It's part of the fabric of our universe. Well, along with me tonight, I'm Jay Hatter, your host for this evening. With me is my little sister and my best friend, Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Hatter.
Yeah, artificial intelligence. There's so much they're writing about what could happen, what is happening, and the warning some people have given us that they pretty much ignored, and I hope that's not the way it's going to go, that we just... It's like Elon Musk. He says it's a possibility we already have gone too far with it. We have created a beast we might not be able to tame. Hopefully that's not it either. But some of the unexplained things, I guess we'll start before we get into the artificial intelligence and what we'll do. Well, I'll play that after. Just a couple of things. Like the oceans. Now, you've heard that we know more about outer space than our own oceans. That's true. But there is a fact in that idea that where the sunlight no longer infiltrates the oceans, about 400 feet, I think it is, they call it the twilight zone. They say that there's more fish and undiscovered species in that twilight zone, in that zone, species of aquatic animals, mammals, and fish in all the oceans combined. That is a huge comment. We don't know anything about our oceans. They say, where's all the plastic? I had heard that we had a plastic raft heading for us after the tsunami in Japan. We had a raft the size of the state of Maryland heading towards us. But they say, as far as the entire totality of the plastics we have manufactured and where they are, they don't know where it is. They don't know where it went, whether it's sinking, whether it's decomposing, somebody's eating it. I don't know. Maybe the aliens are coming down and taking it away, hauling our trash out. But plastics is not good. The twilight zone hit that. 90% of the universe is held together by what they call dark matter. And everybody's heard that term, dark matter. But what is it? Anything that we can touch, see, feel, interact with is called matter. It's what we can see and do, right? But the dark matter, there is that fabric that holds everything together in the universe. It's called dark matter. We can't see it. We can't touch it. We shouldn't fuck with it either. But for two examples, 90% of all of everything in the universe we can't see or touch or interact with. 90%. That opens the doors to a lot of things that it's like everything here on this earth, everything we know, physics, science, is on this rock called Earth through an atmosphere of gases. You get out into in space where there's no atmosphere, things, science and physics are going to be changed. You can't expect it that that's going to be like we know here on Earth. It's not. Fire doesn't burn in space because there's no oxygen. You can't. There's no sound waves because there's no air to have it travel through. And that's just two minor things. When we start having to farm or grow food for our own selves in some kind of capsule on another surface, that's when the science will open up. They say that the James Webb telescope, which replaced the Hubble, they have found some strange, they're looking back to the beginning of time, to where the Big Bang is, and they're finding some things that are unexplainable as far as the stars and how old they are, and it's putting everything back into question of what we know. And as that leaks out, I'll try to be able to relate it to you. I find that stuff fascinating. But, everybody heard of Venus, how inhabitable it is. It's 900 degrees Fahrenheit. It has sulfuric acid clouds. The pressure is 92 times stronger on Venus than it is here on Earth. Now, I thought it's basically our twin planet, isn't it? About the same distance from the sun. How does it turn out to be a burning cinder? They say that Venus at one time had water. I don't know how they know that. What happened to Venus? They say a super volcano could have done it. Oh, no. We have a couple, don't we? Or the sun burped. And that's all it would take for the sun just to have a little problem. Just burp a little bit, and we're done. Some of the things that just blows my mind. We live in a dangerous world. People tend to take everything for granted. It's a miracle that we're here on this planet. Now I've got a 3 minute. Oh, don't do that. I've got a little of Elon Musk, and it is only 3.5 minutes long. Just listen to Elon. Maybe he'll tell us something we need to know.
The universe appears to be 13.8 billion years old. Earth is like 4.5 billion years old. In another 0.5 billion years or so, the sun will expand and probably evaporate the oceans and make life impossible on Earth, which means that if it had taken consciousness 10% longer to evolve, it would never have evolved at all. It's 10% longer. And I wonder how many dead one-planet civilizations there are out there in the cosmos that never made it to the other planets and ultimately extinguished themselves or were destroyed by external factors. Probably a few. Look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. This is not true.
There are really two fundamental paths. History is going to bifurcate along two directions. One path is we stay on Earth forever, and then there will be some eventual extinction event. I don't have an immediate doomsday prophecy, but eventually history suggests there will be some doomsday event. The alternative is to become a spacefaring civilization and a multi-planet species, which I hope you would agree that is the right way to go.
We should be concerned about demographic implosion. So if you look at countries like Japan, most of Europe, China, and you look at the birth rate in a lot of those places is only at about half of the sustaining rate. When you have an inverted demographic pyramid, so if you look at the pyramid, you've got age creation, 60-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 20-year-olds, you know, like sort of a demographic pyramid.
Right.
And in some countries, it's like an upside-down pyramid. So it'll sort of fall over. It will not stand. What we'll actually have in those countries is a very high dependency ratio, where the number of people who are retired is very high relative to the number of people who are net producers. And so you cannot, the social safety net will not hold. We didn't evolve for this because we sort of evolved to just always procreate and there wasn't birth control or anything.
Right.
Just like, have lots of babies. It's like pop course and like hopefully some of them would survive. That was like world view in history until very recently. And now it's, you know, you've got cases like Japan where adult diapers outsell baby diapers. Europe's in a similar situation. China's headed the same way because, you know, they've had the one-child policy, and then even though they've relieved the one-child policy, the social norm has become to have an average of one kid. So even when they relieved that requirement, it didn't change. You can imagine, like, people sort of say, well, what about immigration? It's like, okay, look, there's 1.5 billion people in China. Where is China going to get 700 million new people? Okay, that's like 3 Indonesians. It's like, it doesn't work. And the full gravity of this is not well understood, but will become a severe, severe issue in the next few decades.
So civilization here on Earth could end with a bang or a whimper. But it could also be like a whole series of things. Like, so like, what killed the dinosaurs? Well,
right.
It wasn't just one thing, you know.
Right.
It was like a whole bunch of things happened in a row. They could have taken any one of those things. They had like 3 things happen, and no dinosaurs.
If the species is going to survive,
yeah.
We kind of have to escape.
It's mostly about the species. I mean, there have been some real doozies of like, you know, massive meteors and super volcanoes and the continents moved all over the place and Earth's been a snowball and super hot. If you read like the geological history of Earth, it's like very long and complicated. And then there have been so many extinction events, not like just a few. Galactic timescale, even with sublight travel, you could absolutely colonize the whole galaxy, even some of the neighboring galaxies. Could you colonize the galaxy in a million years? Absolutely, the entire galaxy.
Why do we need to build a city on Mars with a million people on it?
Yeah, I think it's important to have a future that is inspiring and appealing. I mean, I just think that there have to be reasons that you get up in the morning and you want to live. Like, why do you want to live? What's the point? What inspires you? What do you love about the future? And if we're not out there, if the future does not include being out there among the stars and being a multi-planet species, I find that it's incredibly depressing if that's not the future that we're going to have. If you look at the progress in space, in 1969, we were able to send somebody to the moon. 1969.
Mm.
Then we had the space shuttle. The space shuttle could only take people to low Earth orbit.
Mm.
Then the space shuttle retired, and the United States could take no one to orbit. So that's the trend. The trend is like down to nothing. This is not... People are mistaken when they think that technology just automatically improves. It does not automatically improve. It only improves if a lot of people work very hard to make it better. And actually, it will by itself degrade, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You look at great civilizations like ancient Egypt, and they're able to make the pyramids, and they forgot how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Romans, they built these incredible aqueducts. They forgot how to do it.
Do you think there is a meaning to life?
Well, I think arguably the meaning of life is to understand the nature of the universe and figure out what the meaning of life is. So, like I said, I think we don't quite know the right questions to ask. But if we learn more about the universe, if we expand the scope and scale of consciousness, then we are better able to ask the questions about the answer that is the universe.
I think the being a multi-planet species, being out there among the stars, is important for the long-term survival of humanity, and that's one reason, kind of like life insurance for life collectively, life as we know it. But then the part that I find personally most motivating is that it creates a sense of adventure, and it makes people excited about the future. And if you consider two futures, one where we are forever confined to Earth until eventually something terrible happens, or another future where we are out there on many planets, maybe even going beyond the solar system. I think that second version is incredibly exciting and inspiring, and there need to be reasons to get up in the morning. You know, life can't just be about solving problems. Otherwise, what's the point?
The value of beauty and inspiration is very much underrated, no question. But I want to be clear, I'm not trying to be anyone's savior. That is not the... I'm just trying to think about the future and not be sad.
Think about the future and not be sad. Yeah, is that what's missing? The excitement of exploration that we had from the 60s to the 70s, and then it petering out in the 80s and 90s, and basically don't have a space program anymore. I mean, something's missing and that unites us together, and I don't think we got it anymore. I think it's funny, not funny, but it's interesting what makes Elon Musk laugh. What he giggled about was sort of, I think it went over everybody's head, what he was talking about. And he's right. You got to ask the right questions. And in order to ask the right questions, you need the knowledge. The science and the technology is stifled. How are you going to know? There's no advancement. If everybody gets comfortable with where we're at, we don't have any more advancement, or the advancement that we need to get off this, to expand off this one planet. We got all our eggs in one basket, and if something happens to the Earth, we're done. The excitement of being able to carry on, I think, is an important fact. I don't know. I'd like to know what everybody thinks about the NASA program of the space age technologies. Maybe that we have the recovered alien ships, and we're going to depend on that for our technology. Maybe that's it. And just not telling us. What do you think, Deb? We got alien ships, reverse engineering?
Believe that we're not the only ones here, so it wouldn't be far-fetched to think that they have alien ships that they are studying.
Yeah. Should it scare us that they have these little tic-tac things that are doing incredible things through our atmosphere that we have no way of knowing how it works, why it works, or who they are? I mean, should we be a little more worried? I think we're at all desensitized. Is that it? Not as sensitive to. Yeah, to question: are we being visited? It seems like nobody. I guess they're here, and then go on with your business. Back in the day, that would have scared the hell out of you. In fact, the first movie of War of the Worlds. When it was just a radio show, and they did a spoof on Halloween night, and a lot of strange shit happened. People questioning, are we being visited? Information wasn't as easily accessed back then. Elon mentioned, I'm sorry?
I say yes, if they're there and they have the capabilities of getting here and visiting, damn right they are. My nosy butt would be there if I could.
Yeah. You know, there's a good theory that if you were to go planning on visiting a solar system or the planets in a certain solar system, you would send probes before you would send manned or alien manned vehicles, wouldn't you? So maybe these are probes. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. To have alive or dead bodies of aliens that are non-human, I think they should share that. I think we should know that if it's true. Now there's so much misinformation. Even if they came out and said, oh, yeah, we have these, nobody's going to believe it. Half the people is not going to believe it. He mentioned the five extinctions that we've had on this planet. There's proof of. Of course, it wasn't totally extinction, or maybe it was. I mean, some mammal survived. The last dinosaur extinction. Somebody called it a hole, and that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be all evolved from, some mammal that hid under somewhere. It's hard enough to realize.
Those amazing critters that survived that didn't survive man, did they?
Yeah. I saw a question that in a million years or 100,000 years, what would the animals look like? Are they evolving now? Where's the fossils of the that's like the half, it's like the hippopotamus and the horse are supposed to be related, close related, right? Where's the fossils of the transitional animal? They're not there in any of the species from all we can do is take their DNA, say, oh, well, look, if they, you know, they have the same or a lot of the same DNA as another group of animals or a certain species, but there's no transitional animals in the fossils.
Well, we don't really know that.
Well, you're right.
You come
exactly.
across a transitional animal, they label it a new discovery, give it a name, and on they go to the next one. So I say that
wouldn't they list those in some category and say when you're studying animals or the evolution, wouldn't they say, well, now this is the species? It seems like
as they were learning about that particular animal, they didn't know enough about it. And as I said, if it morphed enough to be unidentifiable as the original critter, they would just figure it's a new species or label it a subspecies, not realizing that it was actually a transformation or a morphing into the next phase.
That's a good point. There's evidence in the rock formations that some of the animals or creatures that were trying to survive after the last extinction event, a lot of them died out. I remember seeing where there was one critter that lived in the bottom of the ocean that had seven heads, seven mouths, and they don't know what it was. They just have one fossil from it. So a lot of them were trying to evolve to find out who could live. It's a bigger gray area than most people think, but the proof that these animals that and another thing, the extinction, animals and insects die out all the time. It's not an uncommon thing for species to go extinct. I'm not saying that we didn't have a hand in it. Of course we do. We have done some things that we're probably going to pay for, but as far as humans, what we've done to the environment that affected animals or insects. But they say that it's a common thing. The thing is, we're here for, 70, 80 years. If you're lucky to live till 80, you know, God bless you. You had a good life, but that's not even a blink in the time expanse of what we're talking. We don't get to see very many deep space events because they go in thousands of year cycles. The ice ages, the polar. The magnetic poles on our Earth have switched at least three or four times, they have found, to the ice sheets. But that's all they know. They don't quite know how it affected the people, the things that were alive at that time or how long ago it was. Those things go in cycles from like 70,000 to 120,000 year cycles. So we're here for 70 years. Yeah, we got the raw end of the deal. But you could just carry on. And I'll say it again, we've lived in the greatest time in recorded history. I don't think I want to be young and go see what's ahead of us. I don't want to know what happens. I think I just, in search of being happy. That's a full-time job, right, Deb?
Full-time job being happy?
It's a full-time job, trying to be happy, yeah. You got to look at your, is the glass half full? Is your plate full? No, God never gives you a full plate. There's always room for Jell-O, right? I want to, let's hit this, we're going to go to artificial intelligence. I want to make sure we get some of this in. We discussed on the very first show, this is our third, the very first show we discussed the effect, the influences of artificial intelligence and how it's going to affect industries around the world. Now, technology is that, I don't know enough to know how it's going to affect certain technologies, but I can only guess. But we played how it's going to change entertainment, the music industry. They're able to duplicate an artist's voice, his style of music, and the AI can create a song, sing it, play it, and it's not the original artist. So if that becomes profitable, you know there's going to be albums or CDs created that are going to be, let's pick an artist, Beyonce, fake Beyonce. That's going to be the name of the artist. And why pay an artist when you can have artificial intelligence create just as good, if not better, songs? That's sort of the problem they're asking. We played this with a guy named Rick Beato. He's a musician from back in the day. He sort of stays on top of all this thing. We played that little clip, the first one. I'm going to play it again because he had some good points that I'm trying to suggest to you very poorly. So we're going to listen to him. This is Rick Beato.
Our CNBC senior media tech correspondent Julia Boorstin has been digging into how AI is disrupting a range of different industries for our AI Impact series. Julia joins us right now with her next installment in that series. Good morning, Julia.
Becky, I'm so excited.
No, that wasn't it. Sorry. Let me try this one.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rick Beato. So I'm going to give you some predictions here. I don't like to do predictions, but I'm going to give you some predictions on what's going to happen with AI and artists and the music business over the next few years, which actually may be the next few weeks. Okay, let me read you some headlines. Drake's AI clone is here, and Drake might not be able to stop him. Him is actually AI. The person creating this track is a TikToker called Ghostwriter977. Here's another one. Heart on My Sleeve uses AI to simulate Drake in The Weeknd. New York Times, it says, an AI fake Drake and The Weeknd rattles the music world. And it goes on to say that Drake and The Weeknd, two of the most popular musicians on the planet, in the existence of Heart on My Sleeve, a track that claimed to use AI versions of their voice to create a passable mimicry, may have qualified as a minor nuisance, a short-lived novelty that was easily stamped out by the powerful record company. So this thing actually went viral, this fake Drake. There's also fake Kanye. There's now fake Kurt Cobain. I'm going to play a couple of these things in a minute. Okay, before we go on, what is AI or artificial intelligence? It's basically using computers to match or exceed the abilities of a human. So that would be the ability to discover, infer, or reason. And it does all this without having to be programmed. Under AI, think of it as an umbrella. You have machine learning, deep learning, neural networks, speech recognition, robotics, seeing, hearing, basically anything a human being can do. And this is done by feeding it massive amounts of data. The TikTok video by Ghostwriter977 was taken down. The YouTube video, however, was blocked. And it says, this video is no longer available due to a copyright claim by Universal Music Group. Okay, does Universal Music Group own this? Because this is created by someone else. This is an original composition. Are they saying they own Drake's voice? Because if someone does a parody or if they do an imitation of Drake, that's fair use. All right, I'm going to play you a couple of these AI creations. The first thing is by a group called AISIS, like Oasis, but AI. And this is a Liam Gallagher AI-created voice with a real band.
I don't belong in this place where I was born, but I was hoping that you'd come and set me free. Another sunny day and I've just wasted it away, thinking I thought all the things that I
totally
could be.
I found this video by a YouTuber named Roberto Nixon that shows how you do this vocal replacement. He did it with Kanye's voice. Check this out.
I noticed that I sound like Kanye West. No, Yeezy didn't record a voiceover for me for this video. I didn't learn how to do impressions. This is AI.
So let me come back to my original voice for a second because this is crazy. Today on Metaverse, I posted AI Kanye covering popular songs. Here's an example of him singing Day and Night.
I talk to her and I keep stressing my mind.
That's clearly crazy. And I started thinking, you know, what are the implications of this for the music?
What are the implications, right?
Now all you have to do is record reference vocals and replace it with a trained model of any musician you like.
Okay, so let me play another one. This is a Drake thing that I just pulled up. This is called Drake AI, and it says, Winter's Cold.
Winter's cold, where I'm from, yeah, I got enemies, okay. The winter's cold, where I'm from, they try enemy, I swear. The winter's cold, where I'm from, they try to sentence me, okay. The winter's cold, where I'm from, we had them tenneke, I swear that...
That sounds a lot like Drake. As a matter of fact, I can see people liking this song, even though they know that it's not really Drake. As a matter of fact, there's a YouTuber called More Life Shaq who reacts to the song. Check this out.
That's crazy. We got to say AI Drake, fake Drake, and real Drake now. It's crazy. That is crazy to me. That's how scary this stuff done got. Everybody said, wait till he hear When It's Cold by the AI. We finna take this out, man. This gotta be a banger. The video got a million views, bro. A million views. And people know it's not Drake. People know it's not Drake. It got a million. Let's check this out, man. Let's go.
When it's cold,
out, bro. When it's cold, out, bro.
When it's cold out from, yeah, I got enemies, okay. The when it's cold out,
ooh,
from, they try to enemy.
Whoa. Drake, bruh, you gotta hire this, man. This is better than your actual ghostwriters, my nigga. And that's no funny stuff. That's no funny stuff, Drake. You gotta hire this. He better than you.
More Life Shaq is proving my predictions I'm going to make in a second. But first, we're going to listen to an AI Kurt Cobain, this is sacrilegious, singing Black Hole Sun over the original tracks. Check it out.
In my eyes, in this world, in this guy's no one knows. Not the face, not the face.
Here's some artifacts there. Not very good. That's pretty good.
Meet the facts that's got upstairs. Draw my name to the tree.
Kurt Cobain would never use a vibrato like that. Here's another example. This one's really interesting. This is a Paul McCartney song from 2013 with Paul singing it. And then it goes into an AI version. They've replaced Paul's 71-year-old voice with a young Paul McCartney. This has really interesting ramifications. Check it out.
Don't look at me, it's way too soon to see what's gonna be. Don't look at me. All my life, I never knew what I could be, what I could do, then we were new. Ooh.
I gotta say, my friends prefer the AI young Paul McCartney to the 71-year-old one. They've also included a version of AI John Lennon later on in the song. This part, check it out.
You see, there's no guarantee. He's got nothing to do. Go
Now, that doesn't quite sound as much like Lennon, but you can imagine how these things will sound in a couple years. Okay, here's my predictions. What's going on with AI right now is exactly what happened when Napster came out in 1999. College kids started sharing MP3s. The labels didn't know what to do about it. You had artists like Metallica suing people. Everybody went insane, and the music business just completely fell off a cliff. And they really never figured out what to do until streaming years later. Another thing happened around 1999 is people started using Pro Tools all the time. Manufacturers of tape machines couldn't sell them. So a $40,000 tape machine like I have in my control room here, I bought for $1,500. I don't know, in 2008 or something. It was worth nothing. These things were so expensive that no one used them. Everyone was using Pro Tools in the box recording. Another thing that happened, these amps back here, these speaker cabinets, those weigh about 80 pounds a piece, these 412 cabinets, and the heads are about 50 pounds. If you don't have someone to help you, it's almost impossible to move it and to bring it to a gig and lug it in. Nobody wants to do that anymore. So what do they have now? They have these plugins, like Tim Henson's plugin here on this laptop, that all you need to do is have a little interface and plug into your laptop, and it can come through the speakers on stage, and you don't even need a real amp anymore. All you got to do is carry your laptop with you, or carry an AxeFX or a Neural DSP Quad Cortex, whatever it is. You don't need to carry stuff around. It's all about convenience now. Technology never moves backwards. It just doesn't. Auto-tune. Once people started using Auto-tune in 1998 with Cher, people started using it. It just never stopped. It still hasn't stopped. People are not going to stop using AI. They're going to use it more and more and more. The only question is, what are the labels going to do about it? What are the artists going to do about it? And what are the fans going to do about it? I was just reading an article that my friend Rich told me about the artist Grimes, who's a lo-fi hip-hop dance artist, who said in a tweet, I believe, last week that you can use her voice for AI music. She just wants 50% of the money from it. And as these things get better and better, you're going to hear mashups of things. You're going to hear things that sound like they could be lost tracks of deceased artists. It's just going to keep happening more and more and more. Then all the fights are going to start. You think this Ed Sheeran, Marvin Gaye lawsuit is big? Well, wait till this starts happening. Does Drake own the sound of his voice? Or does the record label that he's signed to, UMG, own the sound of his voice? Or is this an original composition that's fair use? AI is here to stay, whether it's someone inputting Chris Cornell's voice and having Lane Staley's voice or Kurt Cobain's voice or Eddie Vedder's voice or Bing Crosby's voice come out on the other side, that's going to keep happening. And they're going to be impossible to chase down all of these. The other thing that's going to happen is that the artists are going to say, okay, I'm fine with this. I just want to get my 50% or 100% of it or whatever. And they'll fight with the record labels to who owns what. And there's going to be Drake and then Drake AI. There's going to be the Beatles and then the Beatles AI. This is going to be on Apple Music. It's going to be on Spotify. It's going to be everywhere. Jimi Hendrix AI. The Weeknd AI. And people will accept these. As a matter of fact, many of them will like the AI versions better than the original artists. Like More Life Shaq liked AI Drake better than Drake. At first, the labels are going to be like, oh, this is great. We have this new source of revenue that we never knew was going to exist. This is amazing. And the artists are going to say the exact same thing. And so the record labels are saying, well, why do we even need to share the money with the artists? We need to just create our own artists. In fact, this is a statement UMG put out about this Drake situation here. It says, UMG's success has been in part due to embracing new technologies and putting it to work for our artists, as we've been doing with our own innovation around AI for some time already. Oh, really? With that said, however, the training of generative AI using our artists' music, which represents both the breach of our agreements and violation of copyright law, as well as the availability of infringing content created with generative AI on DSPs, begs the question as to which side of history all stakeholders in the music ecosystem want to be on. The side of artists, fans, human creative expression, or on the side of deep fakes, fraud, and denying artists their due compensation. They are going to actually just get rid of the artists. They'll make the money from Drake AI and the Beatles AI and whoever. But they're going to make a bulk of their money, I predict, from fake artists, from AI artists, because people don't care. I'm sorry. Just like people don't care whether they're playing through a real amp or not. None of the young bands that I go out and see care. That's going to happen. But then you got things like Spotify and Apple Music. Now, Spotify's going to be like, well, we're the distributor of this, unless UMG is putting out their own streaming thing. But Spotify basically has that, and so does Apple Music. Okay, so Spotify's going to be like, well, we don't need the record labels for this. Why do we need the record labels? We'll just put out our own AI artists. We have the distribution. So they'll create their own, and then the record labels will be fighting to compete with Spotify and their AI artists. Now, you could have a complete fracturing of the streaming model since UMG owns so much of the music that's on Spotify and Apple Music, they could threaten to take it away if Spotify doesn't cut them in on their own AI artists. I mean, it's insane to think about all this stuff that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Think about all the TV platforms, right? You got Netflix, Disney, Amazon Prime Video, HBO Max, Apple TV, Paramount Plus, ESPN Plus. Think about, there's just millions of them. It's completely fragmented. Who knows? Maybe I'm going to have an AI version of me and then write my scripts with ChatGPT, and you'll just think it's me making the videos, but it's actually really a AI simulation of me. Love to know your thoughts. Please leave a comment. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Thanks for watching.
You know, that, and that's true. Lawsuits and lawsuits and more lawsuits to try to define who owns what. You could have an artist that can't sing, can't play an instrument, but he can turn these programs, the software, and become a star. I guess it's going to happen the same thing with actors, with the movies. Why pay a stuntman and the trouble and the cost when they can just do it better on a computer? You won't know the difference. That's a scary thought. I had heard he had mentioned that one female entertainer has agreed to go along with this development. AI has it in its development for 50% of the profits. I was told, I read that there's 9 entertainers, I don't know which ones, that have agreed to go along with this. Maybe they know something we don't, but it's going to get ugly. Would you pay less for an artist reproduction that isn't theirs? I'd say, yeah, people will buy what's cheap. It's cheapest. I don't know. What do you think, Deb? Are they going to be satisfied with that kind of a thing?
I don't think they care because it's just one more way to make a buck.
Yep. It's true. And the only thing that it will take to stop it will be everybody don't buy it, and that won't happen. There'll be two camps. One they'll say, like copy cover tunes or copy tunes. You know, some bands won't do it. We don't do copy tunes. Well, maybe you better. You better figure it out.
You know how
so I don't know.
You, the one guy was saying how the fake Drake had 1 million hits already. Well, it wasn't.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it wasn't because they thought that the music was that damn good or better than the original Drake. I think it was just human curiosity. That's how things end on the internet. Everybody wants to see it at least once, and then it goes away.
That's very possible. It's true, but the way they look at the advertise companies, they will do is look. It got 1 million. Doesn't care how or why. It got 1 million hits. The monetization of accounts. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I thought that was worth playing again. Come with everybody, because I think it describes pretty well what is down the road, and it's going to affect a lot of different industries. Entertainment's going to get slammed, I think. the scary thing with artificial intelligence also is that they are able to create videos of people. Could be you. You won't know the difference to put your voice. All they need is a copy of your voice. And they'll put a video up. It looks like you, sounds like you, doing whatever to whoever. And you won't know the difference. Like if somebody hacked into the cable stations and you saw the President of the United States come out and say, we just launched nuclear, a nuclear strike against whoever. How many people are going to believe that? So from this point on, in your lifetime, you've got to understand what you're seeing might not be true. It's the technology is going to go that fast. Yeah, it's a scary thought. Now I've got this one other the AI music. I'm going to play it.
Our CNBC senior media and tech correspondent Julia Boorstin has been digging into how AI is disrupting a range of different industries for our AI Impact series. Julia joins us right now with her next installment in that series. Good morning, Julia.
Becky, I'm so excited about this story because the music industry is going through massive changes as artists, labels, and distributors grapple with how AI is going to impact their future. So we took a look at how they're all trying to get out in front of AI disruption.
This may sound like Demi Lovato, but it's not. It's an AI-generated song created by YouTube's DreamTrack tool, part of Google's latest experiments in generative AI. The company is partnering with record labels, including Universal Music Group, to create guardrails to protect artists' voices from being exploited and to enable them to profit from custom AI-created music.
Now, Julia, you are like the sun.
DreamTrack, which is being tested as an integration into YouTube's TikTok rival, YouTube Shorts, allows creators to make AI-generated songs with the voices of famous artists. 9 big-name artists are participating and being paid for their participation by YouTube, from John Legend to Demi Lovato and T-Pain.
Drinking tequila, hanging with my friends.
Yeah, AI is crazy, bro.
I got 1,000 people watching me.
Bro, I ain't made a song like this in years.
We were the first TV journalist to demo the new tool alongside Melanie Wilking, a YouTube creator who's part of the initial test. And we asked DreamTrack to create us a song about the stock market. Two decades after music piracy threatened the music industry, it's facing another reckoning as music labels and artists decide whether to embrace the new tech or risk being left behind.
We have to figure out how to effectively partner to drive innovation, to be able to adapt to new technology. I think you'll see that we've worked to try to understand where the opportunity is and to get out in front of it.
YouTube wasn't the first to experiment with AI-generated music. Last year, the artist Grimes invited her fans to use Gen AI to create songs in her voice. If the songs are a hit, she says she'll split royalties with them. As to when YouTube's DreamTrack tool will be widely available, the company's still working on it.
We know that there are challenges and a lot of work that we need to do to get to the place where we will be able to fully scale a product. In other words, it might take some time before you have the ability to make your own song.
In the meantime, 100 of YouTube's creators and their millions of fans are getting a window into what the future of custom AI music will look like.
One thing that was so remarkable about this DreamTrack demo, which was how quick, almost instantaneous it was for the generative AI tool to create the music. So it's amazing to think what's going to happen when these tools are available at scale. So it'll be a whole new kind of custom playlist, perhaps full of just custom songs.
I mean, it's crazy from the creative side of things, because that was actually pretty good.
It sounded like John Legend or Demi Lovato was really their voices.
Which I can't imagine the upheaval that has artists themselves feeling.
But if they feel like they own a piece of it, like they're going to profit from it, and also like there are going to be guardrails about how their voices are going to be used, then they want to get on board. If they feel like it's just a Wild West and people are going to be stealing their voices, then that's a threat.
I think it leads to that. But the other question is, how do you ever make a name and become big?
You can't beat them, join them. That's what it's going to happen anyway.
It seems
they might
like it's something that will only help the very biggest names, just like the concert business now. It's like smaller names. There's no way to make your name and make your way
out. Still dealing with you saying, wow, that's sounded good. Still trying to figure that out.
For instantaneously put together like that?
I got John Lennon to serenade me. I mean, yeah. Like instantaneously. That was pretty fun.
Okay. It was a that's a boomer comment.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You said it, not me.
No, I said it. I don't. Some of this, I don't know. That's music. I don't know.
I like this.
Yeah, I didn't realize that's an ongoing program of episodes, so I'm going to have to follow that and see if they have different things. Because I'm just going through what I can find, and I'm sure there are outlets or places I could go that I'm not aware of. Well, we got 4 minutes. That was a quick hour. Might have to extend some of these shows down the road. I want to thank everybody for listening, those that will be listening in 70-plus, almost 80 countries now. Is that right, Deb?
77.
Excellent. Countries in the world are listening to us, or have listened to us. Yeah, thank you, Deborah, for everything you do. Anything you want to add?
No. Pretty fascinating stuff, though.
Are you pushed for time? As soon as you hang up, you got to go. Oh, never mind. I called it as host, I guess. I'm gonna play a Gary Moore song. I think I'm looking at to go out with. In fact, Gary Moore doing a Eric Clapton song. Let's see, tomorrow being Saturday, it'll be A.P. Taylor open poetry. And
He's not out of the hospital. There won't be a Saturday show.
Oh, that's right.
The next Monday.
That's right. Be there, A.P., get well. He's had a rough couple of years. I'm going to go Empty Rooms, Gary Moore. I want to thank everybody for listening. It's going to go long, so I can hang up at any time. Gary Moore, Empty Rooms. God, he shows off for a couple minutes here. Gary Moore played with Thin Lizzy. Mantra live. one of the best guitar solos ever. want to thank everybody for tuning in for tonight. Episode show Strange Worlds. Gary Moore, Strange Room. Yep. Empty Rooms. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for stopping by.